Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 30 minutes. This show tonight is actually your half-hour inspirational program. It's a component of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. The Dr. Jesse Walker Show airs every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can check us out. We talk all about relationships. Tonight's broadcast is a spiritual broadcast, which is what we do on our Friday night broadcast. Tonight we have a very special guest that's going to be joining us. So we want you to tune in. We just invite the presence of the Holy Spirit into tonight's broadcast. Father, we thank you for all of your blessings. We pray now that you would guide us as we conduct business for your services. These and other blessings we thank you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. All right, we've got, you know, in light of a number of things that have been going on out here, it's time that we take a look and see what we can do for the crimes that are happening all over throughout the nation and throughout the world. So what I want you to be able to do tonight is to look at maybe the cause of what's going on. And then we're going to look at how we as a people can take responsibility and in doing our part to see how we can combat some of this crime that's going on, particularly in our communities. So tonight we're going to be dealing with spiritual warfare for our young people, spiritual warfare for our young people. So please tune. We hope you join us. And tonight we have a very special guest. We're going to be joined by Miss Annabelle, or Minister Annabelle Walker, no relation, but Minister Annabelle Walker. And we will also be joined by one of the prophets that will also be coming with us. Let's go live now, and we're doing the show tonight remotely from a different site. So if we do encounter any technical difficulties, we will bring that to you, and then we may have to go out and come back in again. All right, we're going to go now and see if Minister Annabelle is on the line with us. Minister Annabelle, are you there? Minister Annabelle, are you there? All right, we're going to continue the broadcast until we have Minister Annabelle online with us. We may have to just do one or two things. Minister Annabelle, anytime that you can come on, just let us know that you're in the studio, and we will hopefully you've pressed one already. And
yes, God bless you.
Yes, yes, yes. You are there then. Thank you for joining
us.
God bless you too. Minister Annabelle, I want to basically the format will be that I'm going to try and interview you somewhat. And then we'll give you an opportunity to speak freely. And remember, tonight's broadcast is only about 27 minutes. So tell me, what do you think is the nature of the beast that's causing all of these problems worldwide?
Our children are definitely in a spiritual warfare where we think we're fighting the kids. We're actually fighting principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. Demonic spirits such as a rebellion, spirit that is overtaking our children and witchcraft spirit, which involves with the rebellion spirit as well as the form of witchcraft that they're dealing with. So a lot of parents don't know that, so we tend to get very frustrated and aggravated with the spirit, not knowing that even though we may go with Proverbs 22:6, where it says train up the child in the way it should go, and then you're doing all you can, and as well as we may go with, okay, I'm doing all I can, and then the child is being obedient, which we come from Ephesians 6:12, he's being obedient. We're doing all this. We're using the scriptures, but at the same time, it's spiritual wickedness. It's not the child himself. God bless.
Okay, so if we were to answer the question on what's the origin of the beast, are you saying that the serpent, the devil, I mean, is that the origin of where it's all coming from? I mean, where did this behavior come from?
It's a spirit. It's rebellion. They're being rebellion. The spirit is operating within them.
Okay, and what's causing this spirit to do so, in your opinion?
My opinion, based on what you're saying, the spirit, because the children go out into the schools and stuff. So therefore, even though we do all we can, different attacks come at them as well.
Okay, all right. So the origin of it all is basically the enemy that's causing the spirit. But I do want to ask this question. How is it that a spirit can enter into someone when the Bible tells us that he that is within you is greater than he that is in the world? When the Spirit of God lives in us, how is it that another spirit, and we reference to the spirit of the enemy, how can that enemy exist there as well?
Because our two spirits are transferable, and the child, you know, when we go up, we're living in an atmosphere where it's all real, whether people want to believe it or not. And as we send our children into these different environments, we never know what those people may be doing or who they may be worshiping. You know, we may worship one God, but on the other hand, these other people could be like the music. In the music, there's different type of things they could be picking up. Say, for instance, you don't curse. Your children may be cursing. You're wondering where they get it from. There's different transferable things that occur when you're not near your child. Even in the churches, you know, the teaching can be an effect.
I see. And what has been your experience in dealing with some of these spirits, Minister Annabelle?
My experience, a lot of children in these days right now, they don't even really want to hear about God. You know, they're very, you know, they're very, they don't, they're to the point where they don't care. I mean, but then also it comes from a lot of hurt as well, you know. So it's different. In categories, different children are dealing with different type of situations, you know.
I see.
So you have to examine the background, because it could be generational curses as well.
So when you're saying that, the children are hurt or they're angry, whose fault is it then that the children are rebelling? Let's bring the parents in, for example. What role does the parents play, and if anything, why are children rebelling against even the instruction that their parents give them, if the parent trained them up in the way that they should go according to Proverbs 22:6? What's causing the children to go in a different direction?
Because when we're dealing with spirits, they are overtaking these children's minds, you know, and like I say, it's different type of spirits that they're dealing with. Like, they could be cursing. It depends on their reaction, how the spirit works within that child. They could be cursing. They could be wanting to fight. You know, spirits can get real wicked, you know. I mean, it can get very bad.
Okay. All right. Then what's the answer to all of this, all of the evil or the negative spirits? What's the answer, in your opinion?
My answer to the whole question is that, just like you said, we have to really walk by faith and we have to trust God, because at the same time of all this, even though all this is occurring, God is able to change every situation, even with the kids, because like we said in the beginning, we're fighting not the child, we're fighting the spirit. So, but the Bible tells us in Luke 10 and 19 that, behold, he giveth us the power to shred over serpents, scorpions, and nothing by any means should do us any harm. So therefore, because some parents fear the spirit or the kid, thinking that it's the kid, because, you know, some children are bigger than the parents, or some of the children are just outraged, and some people actually fear their children, not knowing that they're fighting the spirit.
Okay, all right. I'm deeply concerned about the future of these children. How do you see the future of the children that may be subjected to some of the spiritual warfare? How do you see things playing out for them and their parents?
As a parent, me personally, all we can do basically right now is pray and know that, as it says in 2 Chronicles 20 and 15, that this battle is not ours, and we got to lay before God like never before, because I'm trusting that, as he told us in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, if his people, all of us, would seek his face and turn from our sin, because some parents are leading their children to these different demonic spirits, and then when he healed the land. So, in order for him to heal the land, we got to, even though it does say train a child, but we got to pray like never before.
Okay. Okay, just so it happened, let me ask you this. We talked about Proverbs 22:6, and then I want to bring you in to elaborate, perhaps present and elaborate on some more of the scriptures that you may have thought out. So let me begin by asking you, what does it mean when the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go? What does that mean?
My aspect of that is that you have to train them to not, to be a leader, meaning do your best, train them to do their best, speak positive over them, such as like you can do it, encourage them, because some of us as parents, we may call them, I'm going to say, blue, and if you call a child blue all his life, that's going to be his name, or you call him Dodo, he's going to feel like he's Dodo, so we got to be careful, because again, Proverbs 18 and 21 tells us that death and life lies in the power of the tongue. So if we train the child correctly without giving them down, watching what we speak and do around the child, then it'll be okay. The child will, and then if he go its separate ways, you did all you can.
Right. Okay. All right. Okay. So now, does the Bible really, in that train up a child in the way that they should go, does it talk about some of the common things that the children need, like the instructions for things that they would learn in school? What role can a teacher play in adding to that scripture base of train up a child? What role could a teacher play, in your opinion?
So to the scripture base, to train up a child?
Yes.
On that base, with the teacher's role model, some of the teachers are not really they're just giving them literature. They're not actually training these children and knowledgeable. They'll give them the work, but then it's for the parents to do. And I'm not faulting the teachers, but most of the work is for them to bring home and just do it or do it themselves. And then, on the other hand, as well as the teacher, they got to be careful how they speak to the kids when the parents are not around. Because I have encountered a lot of different teachers, and I'm not taking, because you do have good students, bad students, good teachers, bad teachers. But at the same time, we have to watch as human beings what we do unto the children as well as one another.
Right. I see what you're saying. Then if the spiritual warfare is going on out there, and you say we need to pray for the children, what role is the church playing? What role is the church playing? If you've got the churches all over the place and things are just still seemingly out of control, where is the church falling short, Minister Annabelle?
Pretty much. And I'm going to be very honest with you. The church is falling very short because nowadays the church, as well as the parents that go to church, you know, they leave their kids behind. They don't take them. They'll go to church, but they only take kids on holidays. And the child has to get the word as well as you. If you go to church, you know, the pastor could, hopefully the pastor, if he's teaching the word, the child will get the word if the child is there with the word. You understand what I'm saying? And then
it depends on what
the church is bringing, because so many churches are even with the children as us adults. You're giving us word, but you're giving us monetary word. So you got to be careful what word you're giving. You got to give from Genesis to Revelations. You just can't give about tithe and offering.
Okay. I like what you're saying. If you're just joining us, you're listening to your half-hour inspirational program. Our featured guest for the evening is Minister Annabelle Walker, no relations. And she's really impacted by the spiritual warfare for our youth. And she's talking about tonight the importance of parents and the community and all people reaching out, and the church, of course, reaching out to embrace these children and to start praying for them, praying without ceasing. Because they are, she believes, and I believe too, that there is a spiritual warfare going on, trying to consume the minds and hearts of these children through any measure of means that it possibly can, whether that's through music, whether that's through song, dance, just daily communications with their peers. And so, as she said, they may pick it up from a classroom teacher. They may pick it up from, of course, other students, you know, certain language that can also dictate to these behaviors. So once again, you're listening live to your half-hour inspiration program. Our featured guest is Minister Annabelle Walker, no relations, and she's bringing us a word this evening. Minister Annabelle, were you bringing on a prophetess that was coming on board with you? Did she decide to join us?
She's actually on. I told her if she can. She can voice her opinion by pressing 1, correct?
Okay, did she press 1? If you're there, Prophetess, what's her name again?
Gloria.
Okay, Prophetess
I'm
Gloria.
I'm going to press 1.
Is that you? Is that you?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Is that Prophetess Gloria? Hi, welcome to the show this evening.
Hi, how you doing? God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Tell me, spiritual warfare, what does that mean to you when it comes to dealing with our young people? What does that mean to you?
That means that the enemy is trying to destroy them. The enemy, he always tried to destroy. And, you know, that's the fallen, because we are born and we are shaped in iniquity. You know, when we are born from our mother's womb, we got that sinful nature. And the warfare is between Jesus and the enemy. And he comes to attack the children because he knows they are young and they don't quite understand the warfare that's going on. And many mothers and parents don't understand the warfare that is going on as well. Because we know the Bible tells us in Proverbs 6:22, if a train a child in the way he should go, when he's old, he would not depart. But because of a lot of people and parents, and they don't know the Lord sometimes right then. And that's where the devil get advantage of our children and begin to destroy them with the spirit of rebellion. But when we begin to come into Christ, we go into a warfare. We acknowledge the warfare. See, a lot of people don't believe that there's a spiritual realm right now. But once we come into Christ, we know there's a spiritual realm. We get taught about the spiritual realm. And then we learn how to go in warfare for our kids. And the reason why so many warfare, people are trying to fight this battle in the natural, when this battle is not in the natural, because God says the natural mind cannot receive the things of God. He says neither can they know them because they are spiritually discerned. And a lot of times we don't even discern that it's a spiritual realm. But thank God for the Christians that do, that they can go in warfare, because it's strongholds over our children. It is strongholds out there on the streets of gangs. It is strongholds of drugs. It's all kind of strongholds. And warfare make you pull. It teaches you how to pull down the stronghold because it says mighty in God in the pulling it down. And we learn how to pull down the strongholds over our children. We learn how to pull down the strongholds over our region. Sometimes them strongholds over our region and over our geographic region, sometimes we don't know about it. And that's what come in, because sometimes the stronghold could be drugs. And the devil is waiting on us to get our children out because they begin to sell drugs. The devil is waiting on to get our children out there into the gang. But it plays a part as the parent in the home. The Bible says charity begins at home and spread abroad. We need to learn how to teach our children in the home. It starts with home so it can go anywhere else. A lot of times we look for the teachers and different ones in the school to teach our children, when it's the parents' responsibility to teach our children. We have to learn how to discipline our children in the right way. I'm not always talking about spanking or nothing like that, but you've got to tell them the truth. A lot of parents, I've learned this through the spiritual warfare that we're in. When you see your child bring something in your home, and you know you did not buy that for your child, and a lot of us let our children bring things in the home and let our children think it's okay. And this sometimes is where that starts from, and our children get so rebellious and disobedient. When we can't give it to them, they get it from other places. But I say to parents tonight, you know what you gave your child. You know what you did not buy your child. Always examine your home and make sure that there's nothing in your home. Because me as a parent, I make sure my house is clean. I don't care who come in. I go in every room. I'll make sure that nothing, because you give your child an open door to the enemy. When you let your child bring stolen goods into the home, you know your child get new shoes and things and you did not buy that child. These are doorways open that allow your child to be rebellious and to go out there and do things that they shouldn't. But if you teach your child, if you pray with your child, if you train your child in some kind of word of the Lord, even though he goes astray, he's going to come back because you taught him. And a lot of times these children feel rejected because the other parent is not in the house. And this is why I tell you, when the spiritual parents come up, sometimes you have to pray and ask God to send spiritual parents into their atmosphere, that they would be the mothers and the fathers that the parents can't be. It pays a part for the community. As a neighbor, when God says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So other neighbors got to get concerned about the children. They got to get concerned about other people's children, not just concerned about your own. They got to show them some kind of love, because sometimes the child don't have the love in the home. So somebody else will come and show that love to the child. We can't always speak at the child and speak over him as being bad, but we got to speak over that child as being good, because what you put in the atmosphere is what your child becomes. We speak too many negative words over our children. Instead of telling our children, sometimes you're going to do nobody. Our children are somebody. We are creating children by speaking the words. Proverbs 18:21 says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Speak life over your children. Don't speak that to children is bad. I don't care what it looks like your child is doing. There is some discipline that can be to your child. Speak the word. God stands by his word. And God will perform his word. So I just pray that, you know, parents will let other neighbors and things help out sometimes when they're not able. I remember when I was a little girl in our neighborhood. Everybody looking out for everybody. But people have fallen from that. They're looking out for nobody else's children anymore. They're only concerned about mine and I. But we got to start back getting concerned for our children. Because if we don't, the devil's going to take them all. He's taking them, half of them, with the gun violence right now. In order to stop that, we got to get back to prayer. We got to get back to the foundation that we fell from. We got to get back trying to help others' children as well as our own. And when we see those children, unfortunately, let's step in. Let's help these children. And sometimes they go into church, like I heard Minister Annabelle said. Sometimes they go into church. Sometimes I hate to say this too, but the church has really fallen from the place that God wants the church to be in. We got to get back to the foundation of the church. What really is the church? The church is us. The church is not the building. So many people are going just for the building. We ain't going to bring discipline. We got to have discipline in the church as well to the children. Because the Bible says train them up. So we that go to church, we need to train them up. Train them up in righteousness. Train them up in the thing that is right, not the thing that is wrong. And we got to be examples for these children in the church. Because it starts from the church too. And the church needs to take a responsibility and go out and put these children in things that's going to benefit these children and not just let them stay on the street, because if the church would step forth in this house, we'll have better children where they'll come obedient, not disobedient as well. We all have to play a part. We done left the foundation of the greatest two commandments, loving the God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. He said, love the neighbor as you love yourself. Who is your neighbor? It's not the one that lives next door to you. It's everybody that you come in contact with. So look out for your neighbor's child as well as your child. Maybe you got a word that you can call them aside and speak to. Maybe you got a word when you see a child being rejected. Maybe you got a word when you see the child being abused. But you got to show love to that child. Because the Bible says through loving kindness have I drawn thee. He said, I have loved thee with everlasting love. Love draws. Just like you put some bugs get to a light and it draws those bugs. That's just how your love will draw. So we got to start back getting to the foundation of love and looking out for each other's children. If we're going to save our children, we got to, I'm telling you, because this rebellion is attacking the children. And we got to stop that rebellion through warfare. See, this ain't a spiritual war that we can see. It's an unseen realm, a reality of unseen realm that we got to go into as the Christians. And see, if the Christians would come together in unity and get together for these children, our children will become better. Because the Bible says unity we stand, but divided we fall. And we got to get these disagreements put out the way for our children, just for the children's sake, to win back our generation, thanks of God. And people of God on the radio station, we got to get these children back into that place of unity. Because our young children are killing one another more in the black neighborhoods than anywhere. Nobody don't like to hear that, but it's the truth. So if we're going to reach them, we got to reach them to getting together. And they got to see us loving. So they see so many of us hating. So many of us in confusion. So many of us fighting each other. So really they got to learn to see us come back together as loving each other, loving our neighbors. And when we do that, we'll see our children get better and better and better, even in the schools. And that's all I have to say in Jesus' name.
You know, Prophetess Gloria, that is a mouthful. And I, too, I certainly agree with you. I think that we do need to come back to the origin where we started out. And he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek him, and he will heal their nation. And, you know, it's been a mouthful, and we're about to bring the show to a close. We have about 2 minutes just before we bring the show to a close. And I just want to say that, you know what, we can't just give up. I agree with what you said tonight. We can't just give up. We've got to really continue. Just like the movie War Room. I don't know if you all have seen that movie where the lady went in, she introduced, represented prayer to the woman whose husband she felt was just had gone wayward. And so when the lady ended up praying for her husband without ceasing, her life certainly changed for the better, and her family's life changed for the better as well. So I agree with what you all have presented this evening. I trust that you all will come back on our show as we do the follow-up, because you know what? It's never enough of what we're doing. Would you all agree to that?
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yes, it's never enough what we're doing. And I like what you all are saying, that positive and encouraging reinforcement to the children. You know, speak it into the atmosphere. You know, so that they are, just like the songwriter says, speak it, you know, declare it. These are the things that needs to be prophesied over children's lives, and we certainly have more that we could go in, but because this is only a half-hour show, then we bring it to a close at this point. I want to just go ahead and tell all my listening audience, Minister Abigail, Annabelle, thank you so very much for joining us tonight, and I hope you'll be able to come back with us in the very near future.
Yes, sir.
All right. And then, Prophetess Gloria, would you too join us again in the very near future?
Anything concerning the kids, I sure will.
Thank you so very much for that. Ladies, we certainly appreciate what you all have presented this evening, and we thank all of our listening audience for tuning in to this broadcast. Your half hour inspirational programming, a component of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Please catch our show live Tuesday. Our relationship show from Tuesday 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or check us out here next Friday live for your half-hour inspiration program. So I say to you, until next Tuesday or until next Friday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.